Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Thursday, April the 2022. No, it is April 14th. I'm wrong. It is April 14th. I'm getting my calendar wrong here, but I'm not getting wrong the fact that we're going to be chatting with our good friend George Rodriguez in South Texas. So let me say hello to George. How are you, George?
Real good. Beautiful day here. Beautiful day.
Yeah, it is up here too. But correct me if I'm wrong, it is the 14th of April.
It is. Now, you probably are thinking of the 15th as we used to, but we don't have to worry about it for another, I think, five
no,
days.
No, I know. I know exactly what you mean. But no, it is the 14th. I just went to my reliable iPhone calendar, and it is the 14th of April. So I got
14th.
I had written here in my notes the wrong date, but I finally got the right date. It is the 14th of April, and it's always a great day when we get to chat with our friend George and to talk about what's going on in the politics on the border. We're going to talk about the border, a serious problem to say the least. But I want to begin with a little bit more general politics, George. A couple of polls came out today showing President Biden. This is approval, presidential approval. At 35, that's CUNY PAC, which I believe it's a university. I think I'm pronouncing it wrong. And the other one is CNBC.
It is.
And they have it at 35 and 38. And then when you, particularly in the CUNY PAC poll, when you look inside the numbers, as they always tell you to do, it's like 26% or 29% with independents. And something like that, too, with Hispanics. So his support with Hispanics is in the high 20s. His support with independents is in the high 20s. So it is really, George, the point I wanted to make is that when you get to those kinds of levels, you are marginally effective because any Democrat in a competitive election is going to look the other way. They're not going to answer your phone if you call them. They're just going to say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm too busy to see you if
They're
you
not,
come to
yeah.
my district, which is what happened when he came to Fort Worth recently. Nobody showed up except some safe Democrats and one safe Republican. But anybody in a competitive election was not there. So what do you make of polling data like that? Is that consistent with what you're hearing, George?
Well, one of the things, again, you know, having worked when I was younger on presidential campaigns and other lesser campaigns, one of the things that we always remembered when somebody was doing the poll, and they weren't as scientific as certainly they are now, but when we were working on polls or when people were coming up with polls, they would always remind you, okay, remember the street. Now, that meant very, very simply that you had to remember to just listen to what people were saying, everyday folks. And these polls that are reflecting this 35 and 38% certainly show that people in the street that we talk to or that I talk to are very discontented, are very, very annoyed. They are annoyed at his presentation whenever he's on TV. I mean, he doesn't have a command presence anymore. I mean, he doesn't look good. That is very, very important when you're trying to be presidential because he's not. And then on top of that, you add the terrible situations that we've got. Anytime that somebody goes and and puts gasoline in their car or in their truck, in my case, I mean, you know, you have to grumble. You have to be upset. There are the situations regarding the battles of the school boards. They are laying those at his feet and the policies of his administration. It's his administration, his Department of Education, that have come out swinging at the parents. So they know that. The situation with the constant talking about climate control and how we are supposed to do this and do that and do this. And in the meantime, our energy prices continue to go sky high, not just the gasoline, but the cooling of our houses, the heating of our houses. I mean, this guy is in real trouble, and it's not just him. He is sinking his party with him.
Right, and that's a very good point, because, and you're seeing it by the absence of Democrats whenever he's around. You know, like I said, he was here in Fort Worth.
And notice I didn't mention immigration.
Right.
Notice I didn't mention the issue of immigration.
Right, we're going to get to that in a minute. But, you know, George, one of the problems that he's having, before we get to the immigration and the border, one of the problems that he's having is independents. Independents have really turned on him. You know, there's always three groups, as you know, in these elections. You have Republicans, you have Democrats, and those are predictable voters for the most part. But the independents are the ones who can switch one way or another. And in this case, when you look at the polling data, and this is consistent across, no matter what poll you look at, what you're seeing is a drop in independents. The independents are not supporting him. And I wonder, George, this is my theory. Tell me what you think. My theory is that a lot of independents feel like he lied to them during the campaign, that many of these independents said, you know, I don't like Trump. I don't like his personality. You know, he's been okay on issues, but that personality really bothers me. But this guy, Biden, he's going to be like a calming influence on the country. He's going to calm things down. And he's going to be more of a centrist who's going to be looking more. He's not going to be ideological. But he's been the exact opposite. I mean, the minute he got in, he started signing executive orders that Bernie Sanders could have signed, that Elizabeth Warren could have signed, that Beto O'Rourke could have signed. So people are saying, wait a minute, we voted for Joe Biden and we got something else. I think, George, that has a lot to do with why he's in trouble with independents. I mean, that's my theory. What do you think?
Yeah, it's been very, very obvious that the man has not stood up to his radical base. You know, they are, you know, the radicals are in charge from everything, from the environment to gun control now, you know, that's because of the latest shootings again, rather than calling out the district attorneys, the local district attorneys, who are at the root of this problem, who are pardoning people left and right, they're blaming the guns. They're blaming the guns. The guy that was did the shooting, the mass shootings in New York, had an extensive record. He was on Facebook. All of the signs were there, and they didn't do anything about him. In his last arrest, he was bailed immediately. And, you know, these things are laid at his feet because instead of using his pulpit to, you know, call out these district attorneys and these mayors, he's not doing anything. He's just very, very quiet. On the contrary, they seem to be to go along with him. Chicago, he should have long time ago called out Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago, but no.
Right. No, you're right about that. And what's interesting about this fellow in New York City who did the shooting is you're right. He was all over YouTube. He was all over Facebook with not just violent remarks, racist remarks.
Remarks. Yes.
How this guy
Where is Biden's call for?
Right.
Where is Biden's call for that to be a hate crime?
Right. Exactly. And where was Facebook? Why wasn't this guy canceled? Where was YouTube? I mean, they have canceled many people on the other side. So that's, you know, that's the other side of this. And a lot of people look at this guy and they go, well, how did this guy, why was he out in the street? That's a good question. But also, how was he allowed to publish and record all this stuff on social media without consequences? And that's another big problem. Well, let's get to the border, George, because that's the topic of the day in Title 42. Right now, the border, as you know, the governor decided to send some of these people to Washington, D.C. in a bus, and there's other measures being taken. Tell me right now, I mean, on Thursday, April the 14th, what's the border like? I mean, you talk to the Border Patrol people all the time. What is going on down there, George?
Well, the Biden administration has already, in my, as you know, prematurely in my book, but they've already announced that come May 23rd, they're going to remove Title 42.
So that's official.
That no one will be able to. That's official.
So that's official.
That's
okay.
Official.
Right.
Now, the way that they framed it is that that's their target date, which in my opinion still seems to have a little bit of wiggle room. However, again, this is Biden reacting to his base, to his real radical base that practically wants no border. They want people to come and go. So what you've got is tons of people lining up already on the other side who were previously fearful because they were sick, because they had the sniffles, because they had hay fever, who knows why. But they were afraid to be stopped and checked and being turned around. That was the only thing that was really working at this point of turning people around. So there were a lot of folks who were, you know, holding back from crossing. At this point, nothing is going to hold back anyone from anything, from crossing. And there are tent cities across the border that are just, I mean, they're growing by the hour. On the other hand, you've already got people who don't want to wait, who are just, who recognize that, Border Patrol and the Immigration Customs folks are already overwhelmed. So they're coming across in droves. The governor of Texas, as we know, has instituted an intensive, expansive inspection of truck. That has sent a big message to Mexico. What is happening is that there are lines of trucks with produce, with goods, with trade goods that are stuck at the border as these trucks are being inspected to the nth degree. Now, a lot of people are saying that that's not necessary. I got news for you. It is. There have been many, many times that I will be driving down to Laredo or Del Rio, and one of these trucks will have a tire blow up. And folks, you don't know what it's like to be driving along and have a truck have its rubber being flung at your car as you pass it or as you're behind it. I mean, it is dangerous. It is scary. And a lot of these trucks in Mexico, let's face it, they don't have inspections of vehicles. And so what's happening is that these vehicles are being inspected. Some of them are being stopped. On the other hand, what's happening is that a lot of them have been carrying narcotics, drugs, and they're being caught. So now they're having to find another way to do it, to bring the contraband across. The other thing is that many of them have been carrying illegal aliens. So that's been stopped. So, it is a small action on the part of the governor, but it's sending a very big message to Mexico.
Well, the fact that the governor of Nuevo León, which is the state, one of the states south of Texas, the fact that he was willing to at least cooperate with the governor of Texas tells you, I think, that they're taking it very seriously. But what about the work day for a Border Patrol agent? That's what worries me. that we're asking these people to do things that are completely
it is really
unbelievable.
The morale of the Border Patrol, while it's picked up a little bit because of the actions of the governor, it is still in the pits. It is still rock bottom. One of the things that's been happening is the retirement has gone off the charts of the Border Patrol. Not only has it is there a skyrocketing retirement, there's also people who are just flat quitting, you know, that don't even have that have maybe less than 10 years that just have decided no, they're going to change careers. The Border Patrol is really it's understaffed because this administration did not give money to hire more people, nor did they give them bonuses. One of the hysterical things that I heard the other yesterday when I was in D.C. was how you know they're very happy that they told the some of the Border Patrol agents they told the that they were going to be getting a 4% bonus raise, but then it's announced that the inflation rate is at 8.7%. So. You know,
actually
they all just kind of roll their eyes.
They actually cut their salaries, not increase it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Exactly.
And so, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm going to make a couple of points that I wanted to make about the situation. The first one is with respect to, you know, to the president. You mentioned correctly that he's not willing to stand up to, I call them the immigration activists, you know, the radicals within the party who believe in open borders. Well, when you are at 35%, George, and you're at 29%, 26% with independents, what does it take to hit you between the eyes that maybe you're listening to the wrong people?
Really?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, because
exactly.
if he was at 50% or 55%, that's a different story. But, I mean, he's at a point right now where, you know, when you're at 29, 28, 30, 35%, you're
not
exactly...
What does it take to get your attention?
Yeah. What does it take to get your attention? So you have to wonder whether he's even aware of what's going on. Because any politician with the simplest of political instincts would figure out that I'm going down the wrong track here. I mean... You don't have to be a genius to figure this out. And yet, for some reason, he doesn't figure it out. So that's why many of us believe that maybe he's totally detached from governing, that other people are doing this and not him.
Congressman Chip Roy here in San Antonio, Congressman Chip Roy the other day asked rhetorically, and it's a brutal question, but it's an accurate question, is he stupid or willful on this issue? Because you know this lifting of Title 42, you know it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
Well, and then on top of that, George, one more point, and then I wanted to ask you another question. One more point about this. Look at the number of Democrats who are saying, "Don't do it." Don't do it. So, I mean, if he's not getting it from the public opinion polls, he should be getting it from other Democrats who are calling the White House and saying, don't do it. Now you have the senator of New Hampshire, from New Hampshire, senator from Georgia, senator from Nevada, senator from Arizona, four Democrats in very tough re-elections. They're all saying, don't do it. Now, the other point, George, is, and I want to get your reaction to this. On one hand, they're telling us we have to wear a mask if we fly. On the other hand, we're removing Title 42. Can you logically explain that to me, George?
Well, and I can give you a classic example because, like I said, I was in D.C. this past 4 days that I've been there. I get on the plane here in San Antonio, and there are... several folks that have just crossed the border. They haven't been checked. They're sitting in the waiting area there at the airport, and they're not wearing masks. Now, everybody they keep repeating over and over again over the intercom at the airport that it's mandatory that you've got to wear a mask. They're not wearing masks. They haven't been checked. Then they get on the plane. You know, with we happen to have had about 10 of them on the flight that we took. And so again, you know, the hypocrisy of this administration is outstanding, just amazing to me.
I would put it, George, even I would go beyond hypocrisy to stupidity, because when you think about the way this plays out politically, you know, you have to wear a mask and you go on a flight, but we're going to remove Title 42. So on one hand, you're telling us, you know, Dr. Fauci is telling us, you know, we may have to go back to lockdowns because there's another one coming. But then on the other hand, we're eliminating Title 42. So which is it? Which is it? I think most people look at that and go,
Dr. Fauci has said nothing. He has said absolutely zero about Title 42 and the health issues of undocumented aliens. I mean, he has said zero about it.
You're right. I mean, he has never made a comment about the fact that people were coming in and were not being checked. And that, in fact, George, that was the thing that turned me against Dr. Fauci. That inconsistency on the part of Dr. Fauci, when he was telling people you might have to wear a mask if you go out on Halloween, but I'm not going to say anything about the border. And that was what I think really turned me against Dr. Fauci, where I began to see that this man was more of a politician than a scientist, that he was playing politics. He was not really being a scientist. And that's when he turned
me off.
Yeah, follow the science whenever it's convenient.
Follow the political science.
Follow the political science. Yes, that's exactly right. All of a sudden, political science has replaced whatever other science they believe in. Well, George, what do you think politically, let's talk about politics here in Texas. What do you think was the reaction of the people in Texas to the governor, the actions that the governor has taken? One of the things that I hear from people all the time is, you know, Texas is being forced to spend money to defend a border when this is a federal responsibility. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I believe. So in your opinion, are the actions of the governor going down well with the people of Texas, or is he being hurt politically by what he's doing, George?
Not at all. I think they're going down very, very well. People see him taking some action more than anything else. And I think, there's two things to this, to his actions, the inspection, the truck inspections at the border, and then the busing of aliens to Washington, D.C. By far, one is more effective than the other, but the other one gets better, it has better optics. The busing of the aliens to Washington, D.C. has everybody's attention, and the media is focusing on that, and people are applauding it, because we have seen, like in the little communities of Carrizo Springs and in Uvalde, where the illegal aliens were just being dumped into the street because there was no room at the end, because the Border Patrol couldn't keep them anymore. And because, because the ACLU and others folks were right there to bail out any illegal alien that was caught and put in and placed in jail for trespassing. Right. Well, now, instead of doing any of the just letting them out, there are, of course, it's only been four buses, but they've gone to Washington, D.C. And now that has captured the attention of a lot of folks across the country who are just upset with the way that that Biden is handling the border. So that has played out very, very well. For me, the most important thing that's happening is this inspection at the border of trucks, because that's gotten, like you said, the attention of Nuevo León in Mexico, and it's going to get the attention of the Union of Troqueros in Mexico, which who is very, very powerful. And I guarantee we're going to see some changes.
Well, I thought it was very effective politically. And of course, you cannot separate politics from any of this. But I thought it was very effective politically that the governor made a decision a couple of days before. And then yesterday he goes on a press conference with the governor of Nuevo León. And here they are, they're talking almost like two heads of state dealing with this problem, you know. And I think it was a real slap in the face of President Biden saying, look, I'm doing the job you don't want to do. And I don't know about the governor of Nuevo León. I don't know about his politics.
Well, I think his actions were a slap in the face to the president of Mexico, who, in my opinion, is little more than, you know, as ineffective as Biden is.
Right. And, you know, I have a post coming out tomorrow where I argue that one of the consequences of the Biden border policy, I'll send you a copy when it comes out, is that it has encouraged failed states like Cuba, for example, to some extent like Mexico, to actually say, go to the United States because you're more productive in the United States, because at least you can send back money to your families. And I know that in the case of Cuba, and my article is about Cuba, in the case of Cuba, this has been a policy that Cuba has used in the past. You remember Mariel and other instances where when things get very rough in Cuba, the government finds a way of getting people out of Cuba.
Of releasing it.
Now, the last time they did it was Mariel, and that was kind of like in your face, President Carter. I don't think they're going to do that now. They're not doing that now. But what they're doing is they're bringing it through Mexico, and that creates a problem for Mexico, and maybe that's what the governor of Nuevo León was trying to say. I don't know much about the governor from Nuevo León, so I don't know much about him. But maybe he's starting to get some heat from his own constituents who are saying, look, you're turning our state or you're turning our country into like a corridor, if you will, for criminal elements. Criminal elements are the only people who are winning in this whole thing, George.
The governor of Nuevo León, I believe, is part of the PRI, who has historically controlled. And he is he's not of the same party as the president of Mexico, AMLO,
right?
López Obrador. And so it makes sense that he will be critical on behalf of his party, and also because, you know, obviously what López Obrador, the president, has done has been little, like you said, little more than turn Mexico into a corridor.
That's what I hear from Mexican friends all the time. You know, my country has become like an avenue for people to come to the United States. And it's one thing, George, and I'll say this as we wrap up. You know Mexico. I know Mexico. It's one thing when Mexicans come to the United States because at least they're sending money back to their families. But it doesn't do Mexico any good to have Cubans or Chinese or Haitians, because those people are just using Mexico to go through. They're not sending any money back. So that's what I think a lot of the Mexican politicians are complaining about.
And they're giving Mexico a bad name. So they, you know,
that is, and creating a lot of internal problems, because these caravans have to go through towns, and you know, they got to do a lot of things, obviously, and not all of them are very clean. George, we got a couple of minutes. I just wanted to give you a chance to complete or say anything that we didn't get to.
No, the only thing that I would add to our discussion is that it should send a real message to the Democrats that you had the speaker, the Democrat speaker of the Texas House, support the governor in his efforts to send the aliens to D.C. as well as to close down the border.
You mean the Democrat leader, not the speaker.
When you've got the speaker,
yeah,
the Democrat leader, Jose Chuy Hinojosa of McAllen, spoke up and supported the actions of the governor.
Well, he must be reading the same political polls that the other Democrats in the South are reading, because the one of the one of the consequences of this Biden policy is that he has turned South Texas from reliably Democrat to maybe reliably Republican.
It might be completely red now.
Yeah, which is that's something that you and I would have never believed 18 months ago.
Exactly.
Well, maybe not 18 months ago, but certainly a couple of years ago. Well, George, as always, thank you for your time. It's always a lot of fun and a great honor to have you. And your trip to D.C. went pretty well?
It went very, very well. It was a lot of fun.
Yes. You,
very
so our friends at the our friends at the Heritage Foundation are still there.
They are, and doing the research as well as fighting for freedom.
Thank you so much. George, thank you for your time. Have a wonderful day, and we'll catch up soon. Happy Easter Sunday to you. Happy Easter.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too.
Our good friend, George Rodriguez from South Texas. When we talk to George, of course, we've got a lot to get into, and we don't always have the time to do it. But clearly a lot of interesting things happening on the border. And, you know, check out my post tomorrow coming out, where I talk about why Cubans are coming. And this is not an accident. Cubans are coming because the government of Cuba is trying to let people out of the country because of the political and economic situation in the island. Cuba is having a very difficult time right now, and they need to get rid of people. They've done this before, and several times in the past. Whenever things get rough, they release people. And this time, in the past, they used to do it primarily by water, meaning they just cross the Straits of Florida. But now they're doing it through Mexico, which raises a lot of questions about who exactly is paying off who for this type of situation. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.